welcome to the future.
Hello, all. We are at Teacher Quit Talk in the future. So here's the thing, you guys. We asked you for stuff about technology. I think this is going to be a multi-part episode. What the hell?
I think it is because there's literally so much to say and we got so many submissions that were so different from each other. And I have so many personal stories of woes with technology. Mm-hmm. So the general overarching theme of the next couple episodes is technology. How did the U.S. education system fuck it up?
Really, they did. And I think that capitalism has, as usual, entered the chat and ruined everything.
It has the same vibe. Did you ever read that story? Maybe I made this up and I like saw it on Tumblr and it's not real. But I saw something on the internet where they cannot lie that like the U.S. military was caught burning like VR headsets because they like didn't have the ability to take them from point A to point B.
Please type that in the fact checker.
And they didn't want to lose money, so they burned them.
You know, I'm really excited for this. I wasn't expecting to get so many fucking DMs. We've never gotten this many DMs. I feel like I've said that several times. There's a lot of discussion about technology is the future. Technology is the way. And then the public school system is like, well,
let's do it in the worst way. Let's simultaneously spend billions of dollars and ensure that none of the children know how to type or use Google.
Mm-hmm. And they have no media literacy whatsoever. And we're also going to make them addicted to technology. So basically,
it really takes a special kind of person, organization, to achieve wild incompetence with technology with simultaneous addiction to technology. Mm-hmm. The fact that you were able to get them hooked without them learning about how it works at all is admirable, honestly.
So how's it, why did you pick technology this week? What's upsetting you?
So, disclaimer always, you're all great at your jobs. I'm not mad at you. It's the government's fault. Mm-hmm. So it's our first week back from winter break and we had a teacher work day and then they're like, this is what we want to do. We want to have homeroom every day. Normally my school does not have homeroom. The only times we have homeroom are like the first day of school to get your schedules. And then when we do like standardized testing, a lot of times you do it with your homeroom when you do picture day, but it happens maybe like 5-6 times a year. We do not see these kids on a regular basis. So they're like, we want to do homeroom every day this week. Very unusual. And we're going to do a diagnostic for reading and for math on every single kid in the school. They're all going to take the same one. For context, I would like, you know how in a lot of districts, like they compare the kids and use common assessments and like it's really organized and they know what everyone's data is and they can see, oh, this is how much they've grown in the last 3 years. We're not living that life. We are nowhere close to that life at all. And I think this is step one to get us to that life was like, let's give everyone a diagnostic because right now we kind of have nothing. So let's just give everyone this diagnostic. Every single kid in the school, the 12th graders who are graduating in 4 months are thrilled. You can imagine.
Of course.
They're having the time of their lives and trying very hard on it. So it's a diagnostic from insert major testing company. The kids take it. It's the same across grade levels. It's supposed to give us an idea of their grade level in reading and their grade level in math. So our homeroom schedule says that homeroom is 45 minutes and they go, okay, so the kids are going to take the diagnostic. It takes about 45 minutes. Any questions? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I raise my hand and I'm like, hey, if the diagnostic takes 45 minutes, you know, by the time we get all the kids' Chromebooks, get them logged in, that usually takes 10 to 20 minutes. So would it be possible instead of us doing a 45-minute homeroom, could we do an hour or an hour and 15 minutes just so we don't have to change the schedule last minute? Because that's something we love to do at my school is changing our bell schedule multiple times throughout the day.
So why are you taking something that your school loves away from it?
No, like I should have respected our traditions. Honestly, this is on me.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I say that and everyone goes, well, all the kids have Chromebooks and they know how to log in. So it will only take 45 minutes.
Okay. No way.
Perfect. I'll see you then. Like, sounds great. Excuse the fuck out of me. cool.
And then what happened?
My kids are there. Five of them don't have Chromebooks. I say, okay. I send them down to get Chromebooks. Then they come back. No. Send one kid to get all five of them. Okay, cool. bring four of them, sit back down, send one that seemed responsible. Again, I do not know these kids, so I just kind of went off vibes. And I was like, could you go get our five Chromebooks for us? The kid comes back. They ran out. We're now 22 minutes into the period.
Oh, it's so interesting how you're 20 minutes into the period.
I didn't account for the kids being sent and then sent back and then sent again.
Oh, my God.
So then I'm like, cool. I'm like, do it on your phones. Figure it out. I don't know. And so I'm looking around. A couple of them doing it on their phones. The other ones are on Instagram. I can't put in a grade for them. I don't know them. Like, so I'm like, after I told him like twice, hey, man, don't do that. Like, what do you want me to do? Tackle him? Like, so then it's approaching the end of the alleged schedule. They come over the PA. So we had some delays due to technology. So we're going to be holding the bell for 20 minutes. An updated bell schedule will be sent out within the hour. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
My God. At what point at what point had you texted me and said, we need to talk about technology this week?
Before the event.
Oh my God. But that's called foresight, baby.
Because that happened this morning.
No. Oh my God. Well, and this I guess that makes sense.
So this is like me ascending as a fifth year teacher. After that meeting, I scrapped all of my plans for this week and decided we are doing a project instead. And then the cherry on top of all of this that I literally started cackling at. And again, to everyone at my school, we're all trying our best. I'm just here to talk about structural issues. They send a link to like a spreadsheet in OneDrive. And they're like, if any kids don't have access to the platform, put their name on this list. And that didn't happen in my room because I only had like 10 kids. And honestly, I don't even know if some of them tried. But that list is bumping. Like, there's a, and I think I know what happened. I think it's because whenever we like renewed our contract, I bet they didn't update the users. I bet like they just put the ninth graders in. So I think all the kids on the list are kids that switched into our school like at a random time. So they didn't get like batched in. So just like that's what I want to talk about technology in schools, because I feel like just at every single point, it's like very often mismanaged, and it's usually not the fault of one person. It's usually not. It's like the left hand not talking to the right. Like whoever did the renewals wasn't talking to the person with the registrar. Like the littlest things can screw over thousands of children and teachers so quickly and easily.
Yeah. And I think the other piece of it that like jumps out to me is the fact that these companies, I think, are predatory. I also know that a lot of these grants that schools receive are corporate grants, and they are not pure of heart. Let's say it that way. Like, I worked with a company that alleged to have like an ed tech mission. They were like, we are so passionate about getting technology into schools. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to work with you. Like, this is amazing. Me too. Very passionate about these things. And then when I got behind the curtain, I was like, you just want your shit in schools. You want to sell your shit to schools and make money for you. You have zero interest in this being user-friendly, actually usable at all.
Accurate. Like, the amount of education technology companies that have false information in their modules or resources is astronomical.
I was just like so sickened by the whole thing. And then they were just trash people to work with in general. Like, it really troubled me. And then, you know, going into an ed tech space further backed up the fact that I was like, this is... I told them at my exit interview for this corporate gig, I was like, your company affirmed everything I feared as a teacher about ed tech. I have always felt like, and a lot of my colleagues have always felt like, you are using us, you are not interested in us, that we're just a pawn, a cog in your system. And then to work here and see that that is absolutely true is sickening to me. And I was like, please write that down. Pass that along. I mean, it was so disheartening. And that's what I'm seeing like reflected in schools. And I think like a lot of times educators are like looking at admin because they buy these things, but then also the companies are selling the dream to these people. They're like, we're going to fix everything. We are going to come in here and fix everything for you. But they're just salesmen. They're bullshitting.
The way I've watched like an ed tech liaison, I guess is their title. Like the people at the company that work directly with the school.
They're sales. They're literally called
sales. They're literally sales. Mm-hmm. Look my principal in the face and tell him that if he spent $100,000 on this program, that it would bring our average reading level from 5th grade to 11th grade within 1 year.
Mm-hmm. And this is the type of shit.
I was like, oh, does the reading program pump Adderall into the mm-hmm. water fountains? Because that's the only way I'm seeing you're going to make a 6-year gain mm-hmm. in 1 year mm-hmm. from one platform that's mm-hmm. used in one class.
I think that like so many of the issues in the education system, A, if we listen to teachers, would not be an issue. But B, if people actually had students' interests at the center of what they were doing, I think you would make bank. I think if there was like a really honest company that was actually like looking in at the research and actually trying to make a difference, I think people would love that.
Do you have a favorite ed tech company?
Small ones. I worked with this company that does like learning apps, and it's called Homer Learning, and I was so impressed by them. They wanted me as an influencer, but they wanted to have a meeting with me. And I just was so impressed that they had on staff like curriculum specialists from like the teacher world. Like they mm-hmm. had people that built curriculum that were very like culturally responsive, that were like on the cutting edge of what's in schools and what is working. And I was just so like, it was such a thoughtful presentation. And that... you would think that every ed tech company already was doing all of those things, but they're not.
No, they're not. They're like, this is Craig. Craig taught 6th grade science for 6 months. So now Craig leads our K-12 reading literacy program.
Literally.
And I'm not exaggerating.
No, I want you all to know that that is exactly the type of people that people at ed tech companies hire and put in charge of their education initiatives. It's like these dudes that taught shop or some shit. Like, it's just not, it's not clicking.
So I want to give a shout out to GymKit, but also it comes with a caveat. GymKit was awesome. It was one of like my first favorite things that I did my first year teaching. They were a very small company. I emailed them and the CEO reached out to me when I literally like didn't have any social media at all. Oh my God. Had like a question and wanted to learn more about their product and like how to use it. So I really like liked them, but now they changed it where their free version caps you at 10 users. It used to be 40, so you could like realistically use it with your class without paying for it. And with 10, you just cannot use that with your whole class. So you were my favorite. You've now been downgraded and haven't used you since. So my current favorite, I love Blookit because they make it very free. Like I don't have to pay for it at all. I think it's such a fun tool. I think it's so engaging. You can tell the people that made it really work with children and really tried to use it on children. I think the user experience is very easy. That's something else I want to talk about, how the teacher side of a lot of technology is so antiquated and awful and difficult to use. And mm-hmm. Blookit does a great job of not doing that. Love, love, love Blookit. We'll preach Blookit into oblivion. And then I also love Google Classroom for the same reason.
I was going to say Google is kind of on top of it, I think.
I love the Google Education Suite. My dream would be to work at a school that used the Google Education Suite. I used Google Classroom like illegally in COVID because we didn't have an LMS. So they were just like, whatever you want to do. So I just thought, okay, told the kids to make a Gmail account. Like that's what we did. Yeah. Loved Google Classroom. Same thing. I think the people that designed it really, and Google knows what they're doing. They're a big company that designs a lot of products. You can tell they tested it with teachers and children. The UI is so easy. Like mm-hmm. it's just so straightforward and it's so easy. Right now I use Canvas. The way I feel about Canvas, I can do everything I need to do because I'm very competent with technology and I put a lot of time in to learn how to do it. So I am able to use it very successfully. I do not think it is a platform that sets teachers up to use it successfully.
No. And I think what you're saying about the UI, like the user interface, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. UI is user interface, and then UX is user experience, I think.
I only know that because my husband does that. And something else.
Anyway. We love our men in STEM. I want to give a shout out to the men in technology. You've come so far. You still have a long way to go, but you have come so far.
Good job for breaking that glass ceiling, baby.
You know, as a parent, one of my biggest goals is to make sure my kids feel confident, and that's going to extend into their school experience. I always want them to have the tools to succeed. I always want them to have the tools to succeed and stay curious about learning. And I'm loving that IXL Learning has pre-K stuff so I can get a jump on Jay's learning right out of the gate. The biggest thing for me is that it's not just about getting through assignments, it's about really understanding material. With IXL, kids have access to practice questions designed for all kinds of learners, whether they're more audio or visual, and it's so smart. It uses adaptive diagnostics to help pinpoint exactly where they need the most help so they're not wasting time on things they already know. What I really hope most is that my kids will feel empowered through learning. With IXL, they can explore and learn independently. IXL gives peace of mind that they're getting quality support. What I really hope most is that my kids will feel empowered through learning. With IXL, they can explore and learn independently, and IXL gives peace of mind that they're getting quality support no matter the subject. If you're looking for a partner to help your kids thrive, IXL is worth a shot. You just need one subscription, and you get access to all core subjects from pre-K through 12th grade, just everything you need in one place. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like the user interface and the user experience being very easy for teachers is so clutch because teachers do not have time to sit in a fucking training. You have to have that shit be intuitive. Like that has to be something like, out the box. Nobody has to sit through your stupid little YouTube video to figure it out, you know?
And not even on the figuring it out and learning how to use it, but using it on a day-to-day basis. I do not want to have to click back and forth 900 fucking times to create a question. That's my beef with our new testing platform is you can't upload questions into it. So if you have existing questions, you have to copy and paste them one by one, including the answers one by one into the little A, B spots. And I'm like, so you actually hate me?
I think these companies, some of them do.
And it's so apparent that, like, at least in my experience, the worst education technology I've had to use is almost always a testing platform. It's almost always a testing platform that is the most difficult. And you can tell it was designed with the administrator as their customer. It is capitalism. They are appealing to their customer. Because when my administrators would show me, I'd be like, shit, you can see everybody. It's so clear. It's so easy to use. And then on my end, I'm like building everything brick by fucking brick. I cannot see all the kids at one time. My classes are disorganized. Like the reports make no fucking sense at all. And like you can just tell that these companies are exploiting the fact that they know that teachers do not have power in the education system. So they know if teachers complain, it doesn't make a difference on whether or not they're going to get renewed. So they have no incentive to make the product good for teachers or good for students.
That is so insightful. And being on the back end, I will tell you that is 1,000% true. 100,000,000% true. They do not give a shit about the teacher experience 9 times out of 10. And that's why the companies that do are so like head and shoulders above everybody else. Because mm-hmm. you can just tell that they care. And that's, I mean, I feel like teachers don't get cared about a lot.
So, like, what does this look like? Let me give you an example of a company caring about the teacher experience. So, like, Blookit, the one I mentioned earlier. If you don't know what that is, it's basically a game platform. So you can input questions and it turns it into a game. So my favorite one is the restaurant one. The kids have to get questions right to earn food, and then they use the food to feed their customers. Whoever makes the most money wins. Yes, it's indoctrinating them, but the little restaurant workers are so cute, and the cartoon food is very cute. So it's fine.
I love restaurant games. I worked in the service industry, and I still love the restaurant games, okay?
Blookit is that girl that cares about teachers. So they have it set up where you can import it from Quizlet. And when you click import from Quizlet, it has a little button that says, like, need help. And when you click on it, it has a screenshot guide of exactly what to do. And it's like 5 clicks. I'm obsessed with it.
I wish I had used Blookit, but it was just a little too old for my kiddos. Yeah. When I did third grade, I did use GimKit.
I love a good game. And I think that, like, the worst education technology companies I've seen are testing ones. And the best ones are usually game ones. And I think that just comes from, like, what type of person wants to run each of those companies. Like, I think the person that founds a testing company is a very different personality type than someone who founds a educational game company, even though a lot of them are owned by the same parent companies. That's the other thing. The company that owns our testing platform that I hate also owns Nearpod, which I love.
Yeah, you know, that's super interesting that you bring that up, because I also find that sometimes these education tech companies get away from the person that founded them. Because
yes,
when
that's happening to Nearpod right now.
Right. And when I worked in one, I really appreciated the CEO's missions. I mean, there was 3 CEOs. Then it whittled down to 1. They, like, co-founded it and co-ran it. And I thought they had their hearts in the right place. I really thought they were well-intentioned. But then what happens is money comes into it. And they start being handed millions of dollars by investors who want to see certain things. And they need to be profitable in a certain way. And then they hire also all these directors and presidents and C-suite people, you know, they have a board, and then
the fake job people are ruining our country.
Exactly. They do not have no jobs. Thank you.
Explain your job to someone that's under 8 years old. Your job is fake.
What are you doing?
Real jobs, firefighter, baker. Even if you are like an astrophysicist and your job is complicated as fuck, you can probably explain it to an 8-year-old. Like, I do really hard math problems that helps the astronauts go to space. That's a real job because you're making something happen. The director of strategic marketing is not a real job.
No. What do you say we start talking about everyone else's experiences? Would you like to start and then I'll switch?
Yeah, it seems like it's bad out there.
It's really bad. And that's what has spurred on all of these responses, is people are very passionately telling us shit is awful. And I had no idea that we were feeling so passionate about technology.
And I will say, the biggest overarching themes I've seen: not enough Chromebooks, bad testing platforms. Another big one I saw was lack of outlets. That's a big one for me.
You know what? It pissed me off. I didn't have enough fucking chargers. Do you know how difficult that is? Why do you give me 5 fewer chargers than I need?
Every year we run out, and then every year they go, we've spent $2,000 on 500 chargers or some arbitrary numbers. And then the next fall they're like, yeah, we don't know. And then we run out again. So when we check the kids' Chromebooks out to them, usually maybe 40% of them don't get a charger with it.
I think that it is just so silly. Like, it's just silly out there with the behavior, with the technology.
Okay, so this is about varsity tutors, which I know a lot of people have a lot of feelings about. Every time I've ever looked for a job, half the postings are them and they're like all fake. Varsity tutors was the most giant waste of money ever. That was another big theme I saw. Wasting large amounts of money. It's basically Zoom tutoring thing. Students get info for help with their academics. It's great in theory, but it's for use K-12. The district is really pushing everyone to use it, so it's not a total waste of money. And then they can claim it's intervention through they're using to improve primary test scores. So I guess what they're doing is having the kids get tutoring from these random people on Zoom that the district paid for it. It's literally impossible to get kindergarten through second grade to benefit from this resource because they cannot navigate the technology like the older students or use the features like screen sharing or annotating. What's worse is there was no teacher input on what apps or programs would benefit us. This person said, I'm an IXL and Xur stan. There was no teacher input on what apps or programs would benefit us. The superintendent doesn't want to pay a cost of living increase, but by all means, spend money on a service that we aren't going to be able to use. So I guess the superintendent paid for it for K through 12, but like, why do you think a kindergartner can do Zoom tutoring?
This is the thing with early education. People do not understand what kindergartners can and cannot do and what the teachers do and do not do for them. Like, there is such a disconnect between like kindergarten and everyone else.
I've been waiting to share this one. I worked at a small Catholic school in Connecticut that's been there since the 60s, and it was run down and haunted, but I missed the Halloween submissions. Next year's your year. I was a first-year teacher in 2020, mind you, and the tech they gave me was so old. I had a projector that displayed onto what had to have been first a smart board that did not work. So it was a smart board, but it broke. And so they just left it as a projector screen. After winter break, the projector decided to explode. I mean, there was a loud pop, smoke came out of the back, and the glass bulb in the front shattered. It was like that scene in Office Space where they destroy the copier, but not on purpose. The school took 2 months to replace it. I had no way to display anything to a bunch of middle schoolers who were trapped in their seats and couldn't work together because of COVID. I had a tiny whiteboard in the back of the room, and that was it. I couldn't even tell you how I got through it / what I did because I think I blacked out the entire time.
That is the worst thing ever. When technology goes out, or like, God forbid, the internet goes out, it's like, okay, everyone, break out your stone tablets and chisels. Like,
my kids get so angry because they literally, I've never seen them this mad. Our Wi-Fi went out and they all started cheering. And then I put my computer on my hotspot from my phone and was like, we can still do the worksheet. I have Wi-Fi. Because it was like a video we were going to watch and a PowerPoint we were going to go through and then a little activity where they were writing. So like, I needed Wi-Fi to do the video, but they didn't need Wi-Fi.
I mean, that's hilarious. They probably also were going through withdrawals if they couldn't use their phones. And then you have Wi-Fi and they have no out.
Yeah. But I also, this is like, I have been taking their phones and this was already like 2 months into school. So they just thought they were going to get out of work. Like, as soon as the Wi-Fi went out, those Chromebooks were slammed shut with like velocity. Like, I'm shocked the screens didn't shatter. Oh. They go, well, no work the rest of the day. And then and it didn't come back the rest of the day. In every class, I was like, well, I have Wi-Fi, so this is what we're doing. And then one of the kids came back to me at the end of the day and goes, you know that you're the only teacher that made us do stuff today. Every other class I was in, we got to do nothing.
That is your reputation, and I am proud of you for it.
I have more. This one says, over break, my school decided to update our Wi-Fi and phones. Woohoo! Too bad none of our kids' Chromebooks were set up and all of them are locked out because we don't have some random password and IT is not answering anyone.
Oh no, when IT is not answering, it's just the worst. How are you supposed to save me?
Speaking of districts implementing technology poorly, my district also recently got us all new copiers like in every school in the district. And I was like, oh my God, that's incredible. Like, I never thought they would do that. And like, they looked pretty good, but they're not as good as the old ones. So like, my big beef is they don't let you staple. If you hit the staple option, it jams literally on the first one every single time. So I have to like hand staple all my packets now, which sucks for me. And then our old one, once you registered on one, your badge worked on all of them and you could print to like any one ever. But this one, you have to re-register on every individual copier. So like, for me, that's not that bad because I use the same one that's like nearby to me. But for like the administrators that and like district staff that goes to multiple schools and the registration process, again, I'm good at technology. It took me 12 minutes. I timed it.
Oh my goodness.
Because you have to like,
what are we doing?
Verify, scan your badge. It sends you an email. You log in. Like, it was a thing. So to do that for every single one.
No, that's just too much. That's too much.
And people are really upset about it because like our old ones, the hardware, like the physical object, like it jammed kind of easily. It was a little, some days it was happy, some days it wasn't. But like the access and the scanning worked really well. And now we kind of have, now it somehow also jams and doesn't scan, but is very shiny and has a large touch screen.
Oh my, I love those big touch screens though.
And then I was talking to the librarian about it because we were in there together today. And she goes, and I was playing with, do you know what a die cut is?
Of course.
So I did not know about this until I came to my current school. And then I was playing with it when I was waiting my turn to use the copy. I was literally just like cutting out random shit. I was like, pumpkins, fucking a boot, the letter Q.
For those of you who work at, like, I don't know, schools without die cuts, maybe they're new schools that don't have one. It's like, think about a Cricut before we had Cricut. It's it just like, cuts out shapes for your bulletin
board. It's like
board.
A stencil, but it's a blade. So you like smush it down and it cuts the paper to like make decorations.
Quite fun.
So I was playing with it, literally having the time of my life. And she goes, you like that? And I was like, I love this. And she goes, have you seen this die cut? And I was like, we have two? And she goes, kind of. And she goes, this one's a machine where you can like upload images and it will custom die cut anything. We've had it for 6 years, but the district only bought the piece that does the cutting. They didn't buy the computer side. So it's literally never been able to work. No, it looks like very early 2000s. Like it's very large. It's very gray.
What the heck? But that happened... Not with a die cut, not with something as fun as a die cut, but that happened with my school did like iReady and they only bought half of the program.
Like, yeah.
they bought the assessment piece, but not the like part
like
that
the
you
little
can...
modules where you learn
yeah,
and practice.
And I was like, what the fuck? Why?
They're like, these kids are doing horribly on this. They don't know any of the answers. Probably the teacher's fault. We're having a meeting.
Write that down on her observation right now. Speaking of observations, this person said, about 14 years ago, I got a bad score in an observation for not using technology. I was told, you've never asked for a replacement light bulb for your overhead projectors. I didn't have an overhead projector. No tech besides my laptop. I had already bought myself a projector and speakers that I could hook my laptop up to with my own money.
That part right there.
Oh my God. This one says, the school issued Chromebooks are horrible. I'm from Louisiana and I'm pretty sure the state education system reputation precedes us. The memory on our Chromebooks is horrible and they're slow as a brick and heavy. The internet is incredibly unstable and unreliable, which is a really big issue considering my high school, like most in the state, is primarily a digitally based learning kind of school. What does that mean?
I think what they mean is like, and I'm just assuming because my school has a similar vibe, it's supposed to be like a one-to-one school. Like all the kids get Chromebooks, the assignments are posted on Canvas, the kids are supposed to use their student email. Speaking of bad technology, why is our email Outlook? I want to talk to the person that made the decision that I was going to have to guide 16-year-olds through how to find their Outlook, and then all of the things we need them to do always go to junk. So for me to be like, log into Quizlet, the thing goes to junk. Like, everything goes to junk.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, children don't know how to use Outlook. I barely know how to use Outlook.
I don't like Outlook.
Outlook sucks. You wanted to search for an email? Here's one that's not similar at all from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Boo. Boo Outlook. So this says that... This throws them behind on so many lessons, and staff gives the teachers no notice, expecting them to just improvise. I'm assuming by staff giving teachers no notice, it means admins not giving teachers notice.
So I know one thing that's pissed me off is like sometimes they'll stop using a program or block a program or be doing maintenance and they don't tell us in advance. So like, oh, I was going to link to... This is me making up an example. This didn't happen. But, like, I was going to use quizzes. Mm-hmm. It was already linked in my lesson. You guys cut our access to quizzes and never told me, so I lost all my questions that were in there. So I think maybe that's what they mean by staff. Maybe, like, the IT people or
horrible.
Administrators.
Just not good anyways. Like, not communicating and just cutting things is not the move. So this says, I honestly feel so bad for them because the school has pretty good faculty but a horrible management system, making them look like the bad guys and the irresponsible ones. The school's restricted internet policies are horrible. It's gotten to the point where our Google search is so restricted, we can no longer do proper research for essays, and our email is unresponsive, leading to the teachers and students finding a way around it by using Outlook instead of Gmail, again with no help from the school's management.
Yikes.
Oh, boy. What's a Livino laptop? Is that what I had in school?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Lenovo?
We had, I think it was supposed to be Lenovo, but I don't know how to. It said Levino. But I think it's the laptops that we had in school. Our school growing up was supposed to be very, very cool because we all got laptops. And that was like.
That is cool, like for the time. Because I went to high school after you and we didn't get laptops.
Yeah, it was like a huge, huge deal. And we got these laptops that had just the little red thing in the middle. Like it looked like a pencil eraser.
Oh, like, yeah, the little like clit.
Yes.
Mouse.
Yes, exactly. It says, so this person said, when I was in school, we had ancient Lenovo laptops that did not work at all and didn't have mouse pads but the little button to move the cursor. We only had like two carts for the entire middle school and same for the high school until they got a grant my senior year. So they, my junior year, rolled out a new tech policy to allow students to use their personal devices. This was a mess, as one might expect. They had stuff blocked if you were using the Wi-Fi, but everyone figured out how to use VPNs. I believe the policy was rolled back after I graduated. I didn't know that I was using a VPN, but I remember giving it to some boy and being like, make it so that I can play the ninja game and AIM. I want to instant message all day. And that's what I did.
My district has like a couple Wi-Fis, so like there's one that the kids are automatically logged into in their Chromebooks, like everything's blocked, everything's tracked, it's under their student number. But there's another one that like is mainly for teachers, and like it's what you can get in when you're not on like a district device. So like if I log in with like my laptop the district gave me, it puts me on like the same kind as the kids. It's under my employee number, everything's tracked. But if I'm using my laptop, which I use every day because I'm a Mac person and I'm not using that disgusting laptop they gave me, very grateful for it though, because the kids use it if they forgot their Chromebooks and then they feel very glamorous because it's much larger and nicer than their Chromebooks. But if you're on that Wi-Fi, not nearly as much stuff is blocked. Some stuff still is, like the crazy things and like TikTok is blocked, but like Facebook's not blocked, a lot of Google search isn't blocked, Netflix isn't blocked because like it's for adults.
Yeah.
But a ton of the kids know the password because tons of the kids have parents that work at, or older siblings that work at the school. Oh, so just like everyone has the password to it because it's just like the same password. It's just like you just type in the password. Like it's not, you don't log in, you just like it's at someone's house.
Oh my word.
So that's why when I look around the room, I'm like, oh, perfect. You're watching Encanto.
It's a great movie. Gotta say, great taste. Oh, people really hate Chromebooks a lot.
In the defense of Chromebooks, they do hold, like, they can take a beating a lot better than like a MacBook Air can. And when I've seen some of my kids literally like fling their Chromebook across the room, and I'll be like, y'all ask why we give you such horrible computers. This is why.
Oh, you have to. I mean, when I was teaching third grade, I had a student that every single time he would miss a question on like literally any kind of gamified anything that we were doing, Kahoot, GimKit, freaking math facts, he would punch the shit out of his Chromebook screen to the point where I would like be circulating and I would just stand behind him as he was doing the question to see if he was going to get it wrong, and I would yank the computer up so he couldn't punch it. I mean, I had kids that would throw it. They, that thing didn't break. I have seen a broken Chromebook, but it's really hard for them to do.
Yeah, especially because they have that plastic case on them. What's my biggest issue with Chromebooks is, one, a lot of them are so slow. Every time the kids are like, hey, can you help me with this? I get so frustrated. They're just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So they're so slow, one. And then two, because it's not really a computer, it's more of a tablet with a keyboard, the kids aren't learning like technology skills like document management, files, troubleshooting, things like that, because it just has apps on it. So they don't really understand like different browsers and like how to use like Microsoft Word and like how to keep track of your files. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of those skills they're missing. Did you see Ollie Rose posting about this recently?
No.
She's literally, I messaged and asked if I could talk about it in a YouTube video because she realized that her kids don't know how to fucking use computers. She literally made a video and she was like, my kids use Chromebooks at school all the time. And her kids are relatively young. So like, this is exactly what teachers want from parents. Like, her kids are not 40 and she realized this. Her kids are like 5, 7, like ages where they should be learning these things. And she realized like the Chromebooks they use at school just have apps on them and they'd never learned how to type. So she got her kids like better laptops and is teaching them like the home keys and like how to type and the little typing lessons.
I saw that she was teaching them to type. She's so cool. I just texted her and I was like, we're talking about you right now at this very moment. All good things, all good things. Yeah, I mean, it's people, there's a lot of messages just like talking about Chromebooks and how slow they are. And then also the Wi-Fi of schools being very restrictive and blocking a lot of stuff. But I don't know. I think it's like a double-edged sword because it's like what we don't want it to be like wide open, I know, but at the same time it's like it has to be usable for things like research, and what you're bringing up is so valid. I had never thought about that, like, oh, these kids don't know how to use like file management and stuff like that.
And the biggest thing for me that they don't know how to do that, like, I try and really teach them, but it's hard, is, like, they don't know how to troubleshoot. So, like, so often they just walk up to me with their Chromebook and I hit refresh.
Oh, I know.
And I'm like, okay.
So, we need to be self-sufficient.
And then, like, technology maintenance. So I actually put a lesson on my Teachers Pay Teachers about this. I should do it. I haven't done it in a couple years. Like, turn your computer off every night. You have to update it. Things like that. Like, they don't know to do that. So they'll be in the middle of class. This has happened on more than one occasion. Because, you know, if you don't update it, it will force update eventually. Mm-hmm. In the middle of class, we'll be doing something, and all of their computers will force update at the same time, except for, like, two or three kids. And two or three kids will be like, yeah, I updated mine last week. I got a notification. And all the other ones just have to sit there.
Some people are really passionate. These are some very long things. I think, like, what you're saying could be, like, a really handy poster to have on the wall for people to be like, look, read the thing. Have you done any of these things to help yourself? Because you're right, like, there's so many things that they should be learning how to do, especially if we're going to be teaching technological literacy. If we're going to say that these things are in schools to teach literacy in the technological world to these kids, then they have to actually learn how to use it. It can't just be like a machine for testing.
Yeah, it literally just feels like it's a machine for testing. That's the perfect way to describe it. I mean, because, like, so often the things, so, like, I do all my assignments with Google Docs. I just think they're, like, the easiest to use. A lot of my kids are doing their work on iPads because they hate their Chromebooks. Mm-hmm. So I use Google Docs for everything. And even things that are so basic, and none of my students listen to this podcast, but it's not your fault you don't know these things. Things that are so basic, how to change the font, how to zoom in, like, and literally, I had an assignment, so it had a political cartoon on it, and a lot of the words on the political cartoon are very small. So in the directions, I put screenshots of how to zoom in. So, like, this is what your Chrome taskbar looks like. I circled the button. I showed how it drops down, and you can move it from, like, fit to, like, 125%, so you could zoom in and see the words. Half the kids still needed help with it because they were, like, that unfamiliar with the basics of, like, file manipulation.
Oh, no.
And these are kids that were in middle school when COVID happened. Like, they have been exposed to technology from birth, most of them, and they still are missing these, like, really fundamental skills.
Yeah. Speaking of kids being exposed to technology from birth, I, like, being that my background is largely in kindergarten, I remember a lot of parents in back to school night were very concerned about, like, how much screen time their kids would be exposed to at school. especially in LA, because a lot of parents don't do screen time at all. Or like they have a nanny that doesn't do screen time with them, who's with the kids all day. And they were very concerned by like, and in our literacy centers, we have 15 minutes of screen time every single day. But then also they're looking at the overhead projector. Like they're looking at videos and songs and different curriculum things. So like parents were very concerned about how the technology was being used and what it was, I guess. And I think that on one hand, like I totally get it. Like one day we were, when I was teaching in LA, we had like a week of rain days and those kids were so freaking squirrely. So like during recess, there would be a video on. During pickup, there would be a video on, so they would sit there and not run out the classroom door or whatever.
I'm not judging you. Whenever we go on lockdown and have to eat lunch in our classrooms, which is not, never, happens a fair amount, I put on That's So Raven. We're on episode 6.
I love That's So Raven. But I mean, and this is one parent that I love to death and still talk to this day, but she came in and was like, what's up with the magic school bus? And I was like, I'm dying, girl. Like, your kids have not been out. These kids have been in my classroom 24/7 for 5 days. No outside play, no outside pickup, no specials, no gym class. Like, it's a struggle. And she's like,
it's hell in there.
Yeah, it's a special kind of person. She was like, say no more, I understand. I was just wondering, because we like don't do screen time, and I was like, I know, it's not very thoughtful.
You're like, well, we
right
do
now.
So
it's not the most thoughtful implementation of technology. Like, I'm with you, girl, but there's only one of me. They've taken my IA somewhere in the school, and there's two doors in here that don't lock. So
do you have anything else you want to say to the people about this episode?
No, but allow me to, we spoke about Ollie Rose and she did text me back, and allow me to read what Ollie Rose has told us. Fuck the schools. I fucking hate Chromebooks. My hate for motherfucking Chromebooks runs deep in my blood. They're cheap ass cop out pieces of technology. And I get it. They're cheap and accessible, but they're ruining technological literacy anyway. And then I said, we're talking about the typing also. And she continues. The kids in my comments keep saying typing is being phased out. She said, oh, sorry. Did you think the coding necessary for your fucking glorified tablet was done via talk to text? That's a good point about coding.
Yeah. You have to know how to type, and all the fucking like Excel shorthand shits. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I love teaching people at my school, adults and children alike, about control C and control V. The amount of people that adults that have been like 2 weeks later been like, you changed my life. And I'm like,
oh
yeah,
my God.
Great feature.
How do you not know that? We had a class for that.
Control Z? Wait till I hit them with the Control Z. I showed my class Control Z because I was teaching them how to use Canva, because I think that is a good piece of technology for kids to learn for the future. Like, I think that that'll be part of technological literacy. And I was like, and if you mess something up, look. And I hit Control Z and they were like, what? Oh my God.
Oh my God. How is that like, I don't... You know what I think it was that I had that? It wasn't a whole class. I think it was during my research portion of like my composition English class, when we had to do research in the library. We would go to the library and the librarians would teach us how to research, like how to properly search for something, how to like use quotation marks and plus and all of these things to make a search engine really, really work for you. And then also like shortcuts like that and how to find them. Like, cause you can go just into the dropdown. You can see the combination of shit you need to push.
Yeah.
You know? And I think like, I hope to goodness gracious that they're still doing that in schools, but from talking to a lot of English teachers, they are phasing out a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. Because mostly in English, what I've seen, again, I don't teach English, so I've only seen what I've seen. Most of the time that they're writing essays, a lot of times they're timing it and they're not doing research essays. They're doing essays comparing and contrasting two articles, because that's what the standardized test is.
That's why I made that face. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So that's one this is a good place to wrap up. That's my goal for this year. We're in January and I still haven't done it. But my goal for this year is with my AP kids, especially, I really want to do like a full research paper. I want to spend like a week on it. I want them to have to use, like, I want a bibliography. I want citations. I want to do it for real because I think it's so needed and I know it. So I should do it with them.
Oh, I think, I mean, if you can, I think it's amazing, but I also feel like you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, fuck it. What else am I going to do with them for 3 weeks after the AP exam?
Yeah.
Last year, I just let them watch TV, so.
I mean, I think that the way that you use that extra time is very admirable, I must say.
They hate me.
I know they do, but.
When they walk in the day after their standardized test and the board says, welcome, please take the paper at the front, like. not pleased.
I know, but you're doing so much good. Anyways, Redacted is good at her job. And I guess next time we'll talk about like the sources of it all.
Yeah, I want to talk about like how much money they waste, A, because tons of districts buy things that no one uses. And they buy them incorrectly, like buying half of a program or half of a printer. I want to talk about how much money gets wasted, and I want to talk more about, like, what Ollie Rose is experiencing. Like, somehow the more we spend in technology, the worse outcomes we're getting.
Yeah, I would love to discuss.
So join us next time on Teacher Quit Talk to talk about the things we just talked about.
Love you,
don't
guys.
Don't quit. Or do quit. Whatever
we
you
want.
We
don't care. Bye.
Just don't quit listening to us.
Write that down. Hey, bye. We love you. Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.